Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tejas Networks Limited Q3 FY25 results conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Mishra from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining on Tejas Networks Limited Q3 FY25 results conference call. We have Tejas Networks management on the call, represented by Mr. Arnab Roy, COO and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Sumit Dhingra, CFO, and Dr. Kumar N. Sivarajan, CTO. I would like to invite Mr. Arnab Roy to initiate with opening remarks, post which we will have a Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to our Q3 FY25 earnings call. At the outset, I'd like to mention that our CEO, Anand Athreya, is not doing well and is unable to join today's call. So we will be taking the call between me, Sumit, the CFO, and Dr. Kumar Sivarajan, our CTO. Just to get started, I hope you got a chance to look at the slides. I think we were a bit took some time to upload. So the first slide, so the Q3 net revenues were 2,642 crores, which is a significant growth, and it was flat quarter over quarter, but significant growth over FY24. The Q3 PAT was 166 crores, and the order book at the end of the Q3 was 2,681 crores. In terms of the highlights for the quarter from the significant events that have happened, for the wireless business, we have completed RAN supplies for 27,000 sites in this quarter, leading to a total of 86,000-plus sites delivered till date in BSNL's 4G, 5G network. I want to take a little bit of time over here and kind of share the incredible magnitude of this achievement that we have done with our team. So these are radios developed over five different bands, from 700 megahertz to 2.6 gigahertz. The single band, dual-band radios, and achieving not only the design of this product, but the volume manufacturing and supplies, reliable supplies to the network, which has been deployed. This has been an incredible achievement. And as you all know, BSNL themselves have reported that more than 65,000 sites have been deployed and are radiating, and they are getting increased customer traction and adoption in the network. So all in all, it has been a tremendous achievement by the company, and we're all proud about the customer success that has come along with it. So apart from this, with our RAN products, we have some. We started a few, and we have a few ongoing POCs with domestic operators for 4G and 5G. These POC cycles, because they're new products, these POC cycles usually take some time because they need additional functionality development, additional KPI parameters, and all those kind of things. So there are some cycles or evolution that happens in the product during the POC cycle, so this takes some time. Apart from this, in Q3, we had started major engagements with multiple international operators for our high-power 5G radios, and they have mainly been giving a lot of interest in our high-power radios, and we see interest in doing country-specific band customization for these radios for both mobility as well as fixed wireless access applications. For the wireless business, one of the highlights has been signing a three-year contract with Vodafone Idea for supplying equipment for their pan-India 4G and 5G mobile backhaul network. This win was a result of very extensive testing and qualification of the equipment, both in the labs as well as the field. And this has been mainly our packet transport as well as our optical DWDM equipment. So we have already started the supplies, and the deployment is happening as we speak. And this is a very significant achievement for the company, and success can mean a lot of replication of this business, in not only in Vodafone but in other customers as well. We have been selected as a broadband equipment supplier for state-led BharatNet last mile connectivity in Tamil Nadu, and this has been another significant win, and this is around our mainly our FTTX equipment based on GPON. We also successfully completed the POC and received the initial purchase orders for a network modernization win in the US. We had earlier reported the solution win, and then we had a successful POC and first office application in the network, and based on that, we started receiving the orders for the larger deployment into the network. We think that successful deployment of this network can lead to many other opportunities in the US with similar network modernization opportunities. From our existing customer in Asia, we received again middle orders for the expansion of the mobile backhaul network, and this has been for again our packet transport and WDM equipment. From a corporate update point of view, as you've seen our from our press release, Sanjay Malik, who was a former India country head of Nokia, has joined the management team as EVP, Chief Strategy and Business Officer. Sanjay comes with a very extensive experience in our industry, and he has led Nokia's business successfully in India over a long period of time, and we really value and very excited to have him on board and really leverage his experience and skills in taking the company's business forward. I have been elected as the chairman of TEPC, the Telecom Export Promotion Council, for 25-27, and succeeding N.G. Subramaniam, our chairman, who was the past chairman for TEPC. We have won the Global Connectivity Award for Best Hardware Innovation at the Capacity Europe Conference in London, and this has been for our ultra-converged broadband access equipment. We have significantly expanded our office and manufacturing facilities in Bangalore in line with our business and headcount expansion, and we have almost doubled our floor space capacity, both for our R&D as well as for manufacturing. And as part of this, we have set up the Center of Excellence for Wireless Communications in our new facilities for advanced research in frontier technologies and standards and architectures for next-generation wireless networks. I will now hand it over to our CFO, Sumit Dhingra, for walking us through the financials for the quarter.
Thanks, Arnab. Good evening, everyone. For the quarter 3 FY25, done a revenue of 2,497 crores, and other operating revenue, which is mainly the PLI incentive of about 145 crores. So total revenue from operations is 2,642 crores, which is roughly about 4.7x of the previous year. Quarter 3 EBIT was 260 crores, PBT of 211 crores, and PAT of 166 crores. You see the margins or profitability on a bit lower than the previous quarter, and that's mainly on account of change in product mix, and also there are certain provisions for old inventory and higher depreciation for certain R&D equipment that we've taken in this quarter. Moving on to the next page, our inventory levels stand at 3,127 crores, come down marginally over the previous quarter. Inventory continues to be high mainly due to the ongoing project execution and also certain procurement for high lead time items that we do on an ongoing basis for future projects. Trade receivables of 4,730 crores. There's an increase in receivables, but this needs to be also looked at in context of our revenues that we've done over the last couple of quarters in particular. And as we go along, as the collections go up, we would see the receivable numbers coming down. We've collected about 2,000 crores during this quarter. And the other thing I want to highlight is that receivables are essentially gross of the advances that we've received from customer. So while the advances are visible in current liabilities, corresponding receivables are covered under trade receivables. So as and when the milestones occur and those the receivables will get adjusted against those advances that are there in the current liabilities. Closing borrowing position was around 3,157 crores and cash of 643 crores. Borrowings are mainly on account of working capital purposes. With this, I'll hand it over to Arnab to take over the rest.
Thanks, Puneet. Moving to the next slide, I'd like to give some color about the business of Q3. So in terms of revenue mix, or in the India government business has been 3% of our revenue, and there has been a year-over-year decline of 40%. And as you know, government business is tender-driven and lumpy, so there are seasonal variations of revenue based on where we are in a project cycle, and this is a reflection of that. India business has been the dominant part of our revenue. But again, like to mention, as in the past, that this is dominated by the 4G shipments to BSNL network, but shipments to PCS, who are the final system integrator. The other parts of the private business also have been Vodafone and a few other private operators in India and international. The international business has been 3%. This is still a small percent, share of our overall business, while we have a lot of focus in growing segment of the business. I mean, this is still something which is going to take some time to really mature. I mean, lot of really good engagement, a lot of really good trials, and all those kind of things happening. I mean, there is a slow and steady increase in the business traction that we see. But we see in the longer cycles of business conversion into revenue. Our closing backlog was for 2,681 crores. As you can see, a small segment of smaller, relatively small portion for the international business. And a lot of the backlog, we were anticipated a larger backlog over here driven by some of the key opportunities, large opportunities that we were targeting, which is one of them was the expansion of BSNL's 4G network and 5G upgrade, BSNL's 5G, the SA network build out. This is for the 5G, the performance bands. And, the Indian Railways, the collision avoidance system, the private 5G application for a large enterprise in India, where we have done extensive trials and we've done successful trials and discussions are in advanced stage. And then, the band customizations that I talked about for 5G radios for a few tier one international operators. Those are some of the large opportunities that we are working on wireless. For wireline, BharatNet Phase 3, which has been in the news recently, where the results for the tenders have been announced and are still getting announced, and the system integrators who have bid, I think most of the tender results and have been announced, and some of them the orders have also starting to get replaced. And this is at a stage where the SIs are going to starting to engage with us, with the OEMs, in terms of the product supplies, and this is the phase that we are in right now. And over this quarter and early next quarter, we expect this to happen. Then the expansion of WDM backbone for the utility network, we expect significant investment to happen over here, but the large tender opportunities have got delayed. We talked about the FTTH and the network modernization deals with multiple operators in Middle East, Africa, and the Americas, and the metro network expansion for private operators in India for mobile backhaul and enterprise services. These are the key opportunities that we're targeting. Some of the large tender-driven opportunities, which is the expansion, or the government opportunities, BSNL's expansion network, 5G, Kavach, et cetera, BharatNet. I mean, they're all live opportunities which are maturing as we speak, and we expect them to convert and Q1 of FY26, and that should contribute to our business for FY26. So at the end, I would also like to kind of recap. We still see very strong drivers for our business, both in India as well as internationally. We see continued investments in fixed and mobile technologies worldwide. The drivers remain the same that we discussed, mainly the cloud enterprise, digital transformation, 4G and 5G have a long deployment cycle. There's a long runway of 4G deployment also, long tail of 4G and 5G deployment globally. Massive investments in broadband connectivity, both in India as well as worldwide, in Europe, US, and all other geographies. Modernization of utility networks, across, and this is also a phenomenon, this is across the world. Digitization of cities and economies. And on top of these, I think the new major investment that is happening is setting up AI data centers. And, the networking within the data center as well as the connectivity, this is going to be a major driver for networking business for us. We've heard about very recently the announcement about $500 billion of investment in building AI infrastructure. So similar kinds of investments are happening across the globe in all geographies. So that's also expected to be a major driver for our business. So what it means to us is, our investments in line with those are for wireless, of course, developing state-of-the-art 5G RAN equipment, supporting diverse bands, which are the spectrum which is available across the world, including massive MIMO radios, fixed wireless access solutions for the N78, the 3.5 gigahertz, as well as the millimeter wave bands. Support for both 3GPP and ORAN standards in our products and product architectures to support any kind of configuration or architecture that the operators choose, and we are starting to see a lot of traction happening for ORAN-based applications for 4G and 5G radios, and all products are designed to support both architectures. And by leveraging a lot of the technology that we have from Sankhya Labs in satellite communications, we are building advanced non-terrestrial communication capabilities in our 5G RAN equipment. And a lot of this is going to be part of 5G advanced as well as 6G standards. And, we have a leg up in terms of the access to the technology that we can have for maturing our, evolving our RAN products. From a wireline perspective, it just means higher speeds and speeds, higher capacity. So, the state of the art of 400 gig and 800 gigabits per channel has to evolve to 1.2 terabits per channel, and that's going to come out, in this calendar year. We're evolving our gigabit GPON to 10 gigabit and 50 gigabit PON standards. We are seeing a lot of adoption of FTTX PON technologies for enterprise and mobile backhaul applications. because they offer a much more cost-reduced architectures for large-scale networks, and we're seeing the evolution from not only for residential broadband, but also to enterprise and mobile backend applications. And that requires building additional technologies and protocols and stuff like that for our own equipment, which we are investing in. And then evolving our converged broadband product, which is one of our flagship products, which which provides a convergence of multiple access technologies, providing broadband capabilities. So these products we are upgrading, which was to support LTE for fixed wireless application. We are evolving it to support 5G, and we are upgrading our GPON to XGS-PON and higher speeds. So these are the initiatives that are going on in terms of supporting the business drivers and the growth that we see, the growth drivers of our business worldwide. We are also investing significantly in our business development and sales, and one of the key initiatives over here has been bringing Sanjay Malik on board and leveraging his experience in our field and his relationships and experience and to drive strategy as well as business development within the company. We expanded our sales teams in North America and Latin regions. This is a special focus area for us. And we are seeing quite a good success that we can build on. And we have also expanded our partner networks in Europe, Asia, and ANC regions as we start to build our business in this region incrementally. So with this, I come to the end of our presentation. I'd like to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Vimal Jamnadas Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congrats on a good quarter. My first question is for Sumit, sir. Sumit, sir, if you can just help me understand on the gross margin front, while you've highlighted what are the levers that have impacted the margins this quarter. But if you can just help me understand what was the change in mix like in the wireless piece. My assumption is that when you say mix change, it should be the increase in the wireless equipment sale that would have happened this quarter. So most of it would be coming from BSNL, and given the fact that BSNL would be at the fag end of execution, should our gross margins be much better going forward? That's question number one. The second question is on if you could help us with an update on how is the overall business piece or the pipeline looking like X of the BSNL deal, both in India and abroad. I do understand we have won some deals, but if you can just help us with some timelines, etc., that will give us better clarity. And lastly, just one data point. If you can help me, what is our headcount like at the end of the December quarter? Thank you so much.
Okay, so I'll take the first question on gross margin. And so basically, like I think we've mentioned also in our earlier conference calls, while it's difficult to comment specifically on project by project, but what it means by changing product mix is that even as part of one project, there could be various types of products, different configurations that we ship, and depending on the margins of the products that get shipped within a particular quarter, whether it be one project or across multiple projects, that would drive the margin movements up or down. And The other point related to your BSNL project was, as again, you know, mentioned this in the past, given that this being a first wireless project, margins were marginally lower than what you would see, let's say, in typically wireline business. As we go along, as our international business picks up, as we're able to widen our order book, we would expect even margins to improve over the next few quarters. On the on your second question about the business pipeline, I think I have.
So our business pipeline has two portions. One is, of course, the run rate business from existing customers, which have long-term contracts. Like an example is like the Vodafone Idea deal. There is a three-year contract for supply. So with most of the private operators, I mean, that's what we have, and that's not there in our you know, order book, right? We don't show that in our backlog or order book. But the major components that we are banking on in our order book are the projects that we talked about, for the expansion of BSNL's 4G network and the 5G upgrade. And you know, as we speak, there are you know, there is a lot of movement and progress happening over there. This is also something that we is going to be one of the significant opportunities that we are planning to close, you know, in this quarter and next. The other one is, if you are aware, you know, BSNL is also planning on building their standalone 5G network in 3.5 GHz band. So that's another area that we have a very strong opportunity of Phoenix. And the third one was the Airways Kavach, or the collection awarding system. We did a successful POC over there for our 4G products, and we also wanted to you know, try out 5G, and those that testing has also been done successfully. We are waiting for the tender to come out and you know, and bid over there. Then I talked about private 5G application. This is also a deal where we have completed the POC and we're in commercial discussions. The other one, where we're talking about the engagement with a few tier one international operators, and that's a little a longer cycle during the year, because we are in advanced technical discussions, and there will be some amount of R&D work required for the customization for these products. And for the wireline, the BharatNet Phase 3, I think that's been in the news and you're aware of it, and we have an opportunity for our you know, logging products, fixed projects. We're also expecting very large deals for the utility segments, you know, for the power rail segments, where they are, therefore the telco business, they are significantly investing in growing their nationwide backbones, WDM backbones, and a lot of that has been built using our equipment. So as they upgrade it to from 100 gig to 400 gig and above, you know, this is another major opportunity that we are lining up for. And the others, of course, the run rate, the metro network expansion and all those kind of things. So that will happen, you know, consistently quarter over the year. So these are some of the key deals in the pipeline that will go into, you know, adding to our backlog that we have, and will contribute significantly. We expect to contribute significantly to our FY26 business.
And the
third question was about the headcount. So as of today, we are upwards of 2,300 people, 2,350 plus to be exact, and more than you know, close to 60% of that are actually investments in R&D. The R&D people who are part of this team, part of the 60% of that is part of the of our engineering team.
And sir, one last question on the BSNL deal. Given the fact that our initial deal that we had with BSNL was for 1 lakh towers for the for their 4G equipment, we have already completed 86,000. Would it be fair to assume that next quarter we'll see this execution being complete for this for the 4G part, and post which in FY26 we should see the 5G part ramping up? Is my understanding correct?
That's correct. I think this initial 1 lakh sites order should get executed in this financial year. So what we expect to see is again an expansion of this 4G network, because I think there is still some way to go for them to get coverage across the country wherever their plans are. So there will be expansion of this 4G network and upgrade of this network to 5G as well, and then separate opportunities for 5G in the, you know, in the performance band, in the N78 3.5 GHz band. So there are multiple opportunities. One is the 4G expansion itself, there is a 5G upgrade of the existing network, and then the 5G build out in the performance band.
Thank you so much, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Poladia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, on BSNL, can you comment how is the working of this 86,000 sites? I assume substantial would be already operational. So are they working as per your expected parameters and managing peak traffic?
Yes, as you can see, we only report what we supply, which is more than 86,000 sites. But BSNL themselves have reported, if you see yesterday or day before, that they've already 65,000 of these sites are live. And the installation is a little more than 65,000, but 65,000 are actually live and radiating and actually serving customers. So, you know, as far as we are concerned, I think BSNL is, you know, quite happy with the performance and quite happy with the customer acquisitions that they are doing. So, yes, I would say it has been quite successful as far as we are concerned, both in terms of the equipment, supplies, as well as the performance in the network.
So the product doesn't need much of tweaking. In terms of also peak traffic, it's working as per the parameters?
Yes, absolutely. I think those things, performance has been tested extensively during the POC that happened before we got awarded the contract. There was almost a year-long POC that happened, right, where every aspect of our equipment's performance was compared with the state-of-the-art that has been deployed in the country. So only after that we got awarded the contract. So I think there is no concern on that front at all.
So POC in reality is the same.
Sorry, what in reality?
POC performance and real performance is same.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, I mean, just to let you know, POC is not just some testing in the lab. POC has been across many sites in Chandigarh, you know, for more than a year. Okay, it was built across the Chandigarh city, across many sites, and testing has happened extensively over there. So it's not just a small lab testing which has happened. So I mean, there is no, so you know, that kind of POC testing and the production equipment will have to be identical, you know, with the kind of testing that has happened.
Sure. Second question on R&D spend. I think roughly company is spending about 600 odd crore on R&D. Now, if a company doesn't win say substantial contract in next few months, so there is a possibility of a revenue decline. So in that scenario, do you think in FY26 that R&D spend can be curtailed, or will you still maintain your R&D as whatever are your plans?
So I think without commenting on the revenue visibility and outlook, from a overall long-term investment perspective, I think we'll continue to build our products, continue to invest in R&D, as was mentioned in earlier conversations as well. It's an important part of what we do in terms of the industry that we operate in, and our overall plans that we continue to build on the product. And while we would always look at optimizing it and controlling the spend in general, but yes, at an absolute level, the investments in R&D will continue.
So Lastly, sir, what would be your import content in the materials, or now is the domestic sourcing is higher?
Yeah, so we have localized a lot of the components that go into our products, especially in our 5G radios. But having said that, I think most of the electronic, active electronic components are imported, and it varies from product to product. The amount of, it can vary between 40% to 60-65% in terms of the active electronics that gets imported, the semiconductor chips. But a lot of the key ingredients in terms of enclosures, in terms of the accessories, cables, connectors, mechanical items, a lot of the passive components, a lot of that has been localized in India, including the entire the manufacturing assembly, which includes the PCB assembly, as well as the system assembly test and all those kind of things. So significant part of the entire manufacturing operations, are actually based in India.
Great. That's all from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rishabh Gang from Sacheti Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I want to understand on the international order front, I think we target tier 2 and tier 3 vendors. So how do we ensure that we win the orders from these kind of customers and the order does not go to, the foreign players like Cisco, Ericsson and Nokia? Also, what kind of cost advantage do we really have? Because these players also have Indian R&D and manufacturing setup, right? So what is the cost advantage we have, and what can be the reasons for maybe not winning an order and maybe a Nokia, Cisco, Ericsson winning it? Like, I want to have some granular insights on it, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. So, when these equipment are selected, all the same equipment from different vendors are not identical. I think all of them are built with their unique thinking in terms of the network applications they want to optimize and serve well. So what usually happens is that based on the application in a particular architecture really wins. For example, as we've spoken before, if you compare our equipment with other wireless equipment, right? The kind of technology integration that we've done, for example, our the baseband unit integrates the transport functionality, right, the backhaul. So in typical RAN equipment, an operator would need to have the radio, the baseband unit, and a separate backhaul unit in terms of a radio, in terms of a router or some other transport equipment at the tower to really backhaul the mobile traffic. And we have done a very unique architecture that we integrated the entire backhaul network, and with that gives the operator significant savings in terms of his network deployment, right? And so similarly, the baseband unit is also a converged network product, right, where you can also plug in additional modules which can do broadband services for enterprises and homes and stuff like that, right? So given a footprint in a particular area under with a tower, by adding those modules, the operator, with a very incremental cost, can actually reach out to many customers in that area for serving them with broadband services, right? So if you look at this, the technology still remains 4G or 5G from a radio perspective, but the total cost of ownership, the total cost of solution for building the network and the other applications that come along with it, gives our implementation an architecture a unique advantage, right? And that is where the cost advantage comes in. The cost advantage is not, in terms of, if I use a particular component and my competitor uses a particular component, that do I procure it at a cheaper cost and kind of thing. That's not where the advantage really comes in. It comes in the architecture of the product, how you designed it, and what kind of application this serves more cost effectively. So I just give an example of that. And so similarly, I think we have many other examples even for our wireline products of how we build in the convergence of access and transport and all those kind of things, right? So I hope that I've been able to answer this question. And that's when actually operators value that kind of optimization, that kind of a cost optimization that they get in the network, that's the key reason that we win.
So what kind of a lifetime value, right, maybe a customer saves, right, because of all this integration and all? Like, can you give some more granular insights on that? Like some numbers or, you know, some percentage?
Well, you know, it depends on the application. Okay, the integration of radio with transport is one kind of optimization. The access to transport, that's another kind of optimization. And you know, the cost savings are not only in terms of the cost of the equipment, but also in terms of the OPEX cost, right? Being able to manage a single equipment with a single management software gives them a lot of operational savings in terms of their own training, in terms of power management, all this kind of thing. So, you know, you may get the cost of goods advantage of maybe, you know, 20-25% to that extent, but you get a larger benefit in terms of the OPEX also, in terms of running an expert with this converged or integrated equipment, right? So it's like, it really varies, and these are just kind of indicative of where the benefit really comes from.
Very insightful. You know, what would need to happen, right, for us to win India Wireless orders, right? So I wanted to understand what is the status of ongoing POCs, right? When do you think the outcome of these POCs will come through? Also, if such POCs are happening for international orders, what do you think about that? Yeah.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, that the live POCs are going on for operators in India, and we think probably in this quarter or in Q1, we should be able to see some success in that, in terms of additional orders and additional deployment. For international customers, we have a lot of engagement. I mean, they obviously, our success in BSNL has given us a lot of visibility globally. And people see our equipment and see our architecture and, the efficiency of our product, and they are very interested. And there's a lot of discussions which are going on in terms of how do we customize it for their specific bands which are there in their countries, right? So that's why it's going on. So those will take a little longer to really convert, because that will require some amount of customization as well. But that's the kind of engagement that is happening in the international market for our wireless equipment.
Thank you. Just one last question from my side. On the international front, right, we have said that we are expanding teams in North America and Latin region and partner networks in Europe, Asia, ANZ. Can you give some numbers, right, or some insights on how we have performed, how we have expanded versus last year, right, or maybe two quarters before? Some numbers on, headcounts in the sales team across outside India or partner networks outside India, like that.
Well, with respect to last financial year, we have grown our teams by more than 50-60% in those regions, right? We have added, at least in the US and LATAM, we have added at least 6-7 people, both in terms of system architects, senior sales marketing people, as well as account executives. That's been a significant increase in headcount. Partner networks in other regions. In every region, we've added, one or two partners based on their geographical territories. So that's what happened. That's roughly, an example or quantification of how we have invested in terms of sales growth.
And how does this partnership work? Like, how do they help you in getting the orders? Just if you can give some insight on that.
Yeah. So the sales partners, basically, they are people who have operations local to the region, and they are, you know, there are many countries where you need to, the business is done in the local language, right? So they are people who are set up over there, who have the expertise of building telecom networks, they have the expertise of supplying, they understand the technology well, they have the customer relationships, they have the experience of building networks using these technologies. They have countrywide presence in those countries, whether Indonesia, Malaysia, maybe in the Middle East and all, where you need on the ground presence and country presence for building networks, because that's how our equipment is deployed. So we need that. We need local language support for dealing with the customers as well as for handling business at remote locations in the country. So those are the nature of the partners who are there, you know, people with significant in-country presence, significant local language support, and significant customer relationships in those regions. So those are the people we work with in terms of partnering, in terms of sales and supplies, and deployment and support.
Got it. Thank you so much for the insight, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Advait Lath from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Am I audible?
Sir, you are audible.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, so just congrats on a solid set of numbers. Just picking up from the previous question, I just wanted to know what is the environment we are dealing with in the North American continent and LATAM in terms of the regulatory environment, especially because of regime changes, etc., and also the tariffs that we might be getting incurred upon us because of this, and how we are going to deal with it, and also the lead times within these continents.
Yeah, so in terms of regulatory issues, there are really no issues. I think the only regulatory thing we need to meet is the performance of the equipment, you know, because these are advanced equipment and they have to meet the global standards or the North American and Latin standards, the country-specific standards in terms of, their performance, the safety, the radiation, all those kind of things. Those are the kind of, there are FCC and UL and those kind of agencies which are there, and you have to have your equipment certified against those standards before you ship to those markets. And, when we design our equipment, before we take it to production, we make sure that we have tested for those standards in various markets. Many of them are very, very similar. Few of them have one-off extra features, but we make sure that the equipment are designed to meet the regulatory requirements of performance, safety, radiation, and all those kind of things, right? And operator safety, all those kind of things, right, for various markets. And also make sure that we get those certifications for our equipment, which we put on our equipment before we ship from there. And that testing happens actually in India, because all those global certification labs, like QV, UL, and all those kind of things, they actually exist in India, right? And they have expensive infrastructure. And so they test and certified, and we put those marks for FCC, CE, UL, and all those kind of things on our equipment. So that's as far as regulatory is concerned. Compliance is concerned, right, for global standards. Now, as far as tariffs and all are concerned, it's still an open question. We really do not know. I mean, nothing has been announced and nothing has come up. So, till that time it comes up, it's all pure speculation from in this front. In terms of lead time, I think lead time, it's very similar for customers everywhere. You know, there is a process of lab testing, there's initial technical engagement, you make presentations, go through extensive technical discussions on what is the value that you're providing to the customers. And then there is a cycle of lab testing. Sometimes they do remote demos and testing, and then followed by lab testing in their labs. And then very often they actually deploy the equipment in their network, in their field, to see the performance equipment, and that takes some time. And after that, I think that's when they come out, then we get into commercial discussions and get into an agreement. And if all of that works out, then that's how the deal progresses. That's the reason why, from the start of investment of a particular opportunity cycle to closure, it usually takes a long time. But when you are selected, I think if your performance is okay, the supply cycle is also a long one. You know, it's like at least a year, if not a multi-year cycle, or it's a major project deployment that happens, because the operator also invests a lot in going through the testing process and selecting a particular vendor.
Got it, sir. And just a follow-on question. This is to do with a Vodafone Idea deal. So just wanted to ask, what are the terms of the agreement, if you can share some detail on that in terms of what we will do?
It's a very standard agreement that we have with any other private operator, which is to do with supplies for our equipment for a set of circles. So we are building the entire network for the state across multiple states. And the contract includes supply and deployment and commissioning of the equipment, including supply of network management and getting the equipment live and connecting it to the mobile 4G, 5G networks and getting the traffic running. So there's the entire scope of the equipment and we are getting paid as we do the supplies.
Got it. And so this will be in tandem with TCS, or this would be an independent contract?
No, this is an independent contract with us directly.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunny Gosar from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question and congratulations on the very quick execution for the BSNL project over the last 3 or 4 quarters. My first question is related to the PLI incentive. So we have booked about 500 crores plus of PLI incentive in the last 4 quarters. Have we been receiving the money on a regular basis, or is this still completely outstanding as on December?
We received the PLI incentive for FY23 in FY24, typically the payment happens in the subsequent year. So what you would see in recognized as revenue in FY24 is what we would expect to receive this year. The process for that is on the submitted documentation. There is back and forth from the nodal agency and thereafter with the ministry. So we're hopeful of getting the incentive for FY24 soon. And then for FY25, the corresponding incentives are something that we would expect to get in the next year.
Got it. That's quite helpful. In the earlier part of the call, you alluded to a few opportunities like the Kavach program, the 5G private 5G application, the BharatNet Phase 3 project. Will you if you could give some color on the quantum of some of these opportunities, some ballpark numbers or some indicative color on how large some of these opportunities could be, and on an annual basis, how much revenue opportunity that could lead to over the next few years?
These are very significant size projects. I think all those BharatNet projects and all the overall budgets and all have been have public information in terms of the what is the budgets, and I think all of them the equipment opportunities for us is ranges from several hundred crores to several few thousand crores as well. There is a wide range and lot of it, but each of them are fairly significant size opportunities, and what will return for us depends on how much of each of those opportunities will win. But each of them are very, very significant size.
Got it. And in terms of the conversion of these opportunities or proof of concepts into actual orders and then eventually into revenue, Can you like give some kind of indicative timelines or which of the projects are more closer to conversion as compared to some of the others? So some indicative color, because the order backlog now is about 2600 crores and most of it is related to BSNL, which would mean that post Q4, assuming that no new orders come in, there could be a temporary dive in terms of the revenue. So how should we look at this in terms of continuity of revenue and the future outlook in that sense?
Yeah. So first of all, you know, backlog right now, lot of the BSNL backlog rundown, order book rundown has happened, and a good part of the backlog is also the non-BSNL business. But having said that, as you're correct in the sense that it is still significantly small compared to what we had at the beginning of the year. So yeah, so these opportunities that we're talking about, most of the, whether it's BSNL network expansion, 4G, 5G, the coverage or the other thing of BharatNet and all, most of them we expect to see conversion in this in Q4 and Q1, right? Q1 or FY26, and a significant part of that should be executed in FY26. So, you know, once if we are successful in most of the opportunities, it will lead to again a significant bump or significant refilling of our order book.
Got it. And one last question.
I would also like to make it the last question of this session, if you don't mind. I think we are running out of time, so please let's take the last question.
So one last question from my side. Basically, the BEAD program in US, which is like a multi-billion-dollar government program, and also the Rip and Replace initiative that the US government has announced. So are we likely to be beneficiaries of those programs, and what kind of opportunity do we see in the North American market?
Yeah, I think, you know, both of those programs we are trying to address with our local partners, you know, both BEAD in terms of the broadband rollout in the rural areas is a significant amount of investment, and a lot of the investment is happening in phases, and we are working actively with our sales team as well as partners over there to win part of the business. So the same holds for Rip and Replace. Rip and Replace, I mean, it doesn't really come in terms of here is some equipment to be replaced. I think it comes along with as customers and operators expand their networks in those regions. You know, along with that, I think the replacement of equipment and expansion of the networks really come in. I think that's also there, but I think the bigger opportunity, one of the significant opportunities that we're seeing in North America is this network modernization, because you know, the network, many of the networks which are there in North America have been built over many, many years using old TDM technology, which is optimized for voice. And as they modernize the network to a more modern database, you know, packet-based infrastructure, they cannot really replace all of their endpoint connectivity so easily. So they require this special technology that we have using circuit emulation over packet networks for being able to modernize the heart of the network and slowly transition their older networks to more modern interfaces. You know, that is, I think, a very unique technology that we have, and that is something that we are also, along with, you know, the BEAD and other optical transfer opportunities, we are seeing this as something giving us a lot of traction, because also this is something very unique for us.
Got it. That's quite helpful, and thanks for the detailed answers on all my questions.
Thank you very much. So with that, I would like to thank everyone for joining the call, and hope our you know, and thank you for your questions, and hope you've been able to provide a good insight to our business, and look forward to our discussions, you know, to talking to you guys again next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.